And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman Report. It's Monday. It's Monday. Does it feel like a Monday to you? Well, if it does, then you don't work like every day like Eric the Tech does, I'm sure. Yeah, it's Monday, the 17th day of February, 2025. Did everyone celebrate with their honeys last week? Last Friday? Was it Friday? It was Friday, right? Wait. Whatever day that was for Valentine's Day. Yeah, it was Friday. I hope everyone had a great weekend and a lot of news, of course, a lot of things to get into. This hour, I want to touch on some of the more recent news, some of the more important items, I think, of the day. The lawfare that's going on is just absolutely incredible. And last week I spoke about lawfare, specifically when it really started on a bipartisan, the weaponization of lawfare, and that was with Watergate, and that was a very specific situation. And, you know, I do want to expand on that and bring that, bring everything forward to today, but today I want to catch up on a few things I've been I've ignored over the last really couple of shows, and I think it's important for us to play catch up here a little bit before. The second hour coming up at the top of this next hour, I'm going to be joined by JJ Carroll, who, of course, former Border Patrol. Customs and Border Patrol agents, sector agent in charge. And he's got this week, Wednesday, I thought it was tomorrow. In fact, it was supposed to be tomorrow. His book Treason is coming out. That'll be the Kindle version. And the hard copy, apparently there was a glitch or something with Amazon. The hard copy will be coming out on Wednesday. I've gotten an advanced copy of it, and it's really a tremendous book. I would urge everyone to grab a hold of A Treason by J.J. Carroll. Before we get into the show, I just want to welcome you folks in the chat. Thank you so much for joining me in the chat. Thanks for being a part of the program, in a core part of the program. Thank you to all of our supporters, and thanks to the sponsors as well, including chuckdefense.com/Hagman. I talk about this all of the time. I'm impressed by this. Folks, Chuck Norris saw the video recently that he made. He's in his 80s. He's still so active, and his wife is as well. You know, he says that he's stronger, can work out longer, and has plenty of energy left over for his grandkids. Now, you can see it. You can see the health change in him. And he did this by making one change. He says he feels like he's in his 50s. His wife started doing this one thing as well. She never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger. She's got... her body looks leaner, and she's got energy all day. So, and Chuck made this special video that explains everything. So make sure you watch it by going to chuckdefense.com/Hagman, or just click in the link below this video. Again, the link below the video here, today's show. It's going to change the way you think about your health. And once again, that's chuckdefense.com/Hagman. And click on the link in the description box to watch the video now. You're not going to believe how simple it is. 84, man. 84. Wow. Incredible. All right. Eric the Tech, I want to ask you, how was your weekend? Did you have a good weekend? Everything okay? You are you angry because I was a very late arrival to the studio? Did that mess you up at all? Yeah. Try and fix your mic. Okay. Well, did you drop it? Did you break it like I often do? Did you smack it around? Or it's kind of self-defeating to ask you questions if you can't talk back. All right. Again, a lot of things to get into. I talked to Steve Quayle today. He's going to be back on Thursday. And Steve and I were talking about the gold situation. Have you seen some of the stuff with respect to the gold? I mean, the stories about gold, have you seen that? Of course, there's this audit or this talk about auditing Fort Knox. Rand Paul says, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Elon Musk saying, you mean it hasn't been done? Go ahead, Eric. Was that just okay. And the London banks, there's something really not right with gold. And gold is, you know, rising up again toward the $3,000 an ounce. The ratio between gold and silver is 90 to 1. And, of course, that favors silver as the better buy. At least historically, that's the way it's been. But how long can they keep this together? I mean, I think this is perhaps one of the least understood, most underreported, and perhaps the most life-changing or life-altering stories out there. And I was watching a number of shows, and there was really only one program that I saw that really captured the essence of what's going on. And when I watched it the first time live, and then I waited until it was uploaded, and I watched it the second time live, or the second time after it was uploaded, because I wanted to make sure I understood what was, you know, really fully understood what the issues are. And that was with Steve Bannon earlier today. Now, this is the CEO. He had the CEO from Birch Gold on. Now, look, folks, you know, boy, how can I even say this? Sometimes it almost is like an infomercial, correct? Like with Birch Gold, they're affiliated with the War Room and all this. But in this particular case, there was so much information, important information. And the promotion of the company was cut out, basically. Okay. It is not in this clip. But when you understand what's going on with gold and these EFTs and these fake IOUs, essentially, the world is in trouble. I mean, the world economy is in trouble. And some people, look, I know there are different points of view out there with respect to, well, you know, crypto is the way to go. Well, okay, I guess that would be to some, crypto is the way to go, unless, I don't know, you have an EMP wipe things out or a coronal mass ejection or something where you can't get to your electronic money, right? But then again, I mean, people always have answers for this, right? So as far as I'm concerned, if I don't hold it in my hand, I don't own it. And I'm not talking about a string of zeros and ones on a computer or a phone that I'm holding that has zeros and ones on it. If I have to connect to something, no, I'm talking about something physical. But more importantly, I think what this reflects is, and I was thinking about this, and folks in the chat, tell me what you think. The more that Musk, Doge, President Trump, others, the more that we dig into the economics of the U.S. And how things have been in the U.S. over the last, I don't know how many decades, right? The more exposure that we see with respect to people, politicians, current and former politicians, presidents, vice presidents, cabinet officials, friends, family, lining their pockets with money, The more this is coming out, I think it poses a risk. And again, comment on this in the chat or even at Rumble. I think we are headed for an economic crash. I don't think there's any way around it. I think the auditing being done by Doge and by Musk and others is too little too late. Well, okay, too late. Maybe not too little, because, man, they're hitting it pretty hard everywhere. But I think in terms of time, it's a little bit late. I mean, we're talking just a whole bunch of money, right? Trillions and trillions of dollars. The waste, the fraud. I would say the waste is minimal. The fraud is, man, the fraud is huge. The fraud is huge. But getting back to what I was looking at with respect to gold, because look, folks, I know people out there that bought gold at $300 and some odd, and I know people have bought it at 12 and 15 and 2000 and even at the current rate, and they're still buying gold. But it seems to me that we're going to be running out of gold, physical gold. Now, there's others that may say, no, that's just a bunch of BS, that's fear and hype and all that. But if you think about the contract, the number of contracts out there, so for roughly, as a rule of thumb, this is what I got out of this and some additional research. For every contract out there, gold contract or contract for gold, backed by gold, there's like 150-to-1 deficit. So do you follow what I'm saying? There's a deficit. There's no way that gold can possibly, there's not enough gold on the planet for these contracts to be fulfilled. And that caught my attention, because what would happen, or do you think this is just, you know, an exercise in, well, something that's not going to happen because it hasn't yet, probably won't. They can extend the con. This could be a long con, so really we don't have to worry about it. Empires have fallen because of this kind of thing, as well as the invasion that we're seeing and some other reasons, but especially the economy. So I want to show you this. This is with the head of Birch Gold. Again, there's no sales issue here. There's just discussion about where we're at. The U.S. banks right now, they're flying gold from London to New York. Huh? What's this about? What is the gold situation about? Now, this is, since we have a long format show, I do appreciate, and maybe you don't appreciate this, but I like the longer videos that allow the front end context, the wrap up, and the meat in the middle. And that, to me, what this, that's what this is. Now, I may stop it short, because of the time factor, but you know, all of this is really good. So this is cut to, you can go to the show notes. I saw a question posted and I couldn't answer it. I was not in my office, and saw a question posted on in Rumble. How do I get to the show notes? Once again, folks, go to HagmanPI.com. Okay. And it should be pretty clear everywhere. Go to HagmanPI.com. Two N's on Hagman. HagmanPI.com, and click on the title, and that opens up the entire, it opens up a whole page, and at the top is the video, next underneath that is the audio, and underneath that are the show notes. Okay, So that's how they get to him. Hopefully that answers your question. But here's cut two, and we'll stop at, I'll yell. But here's cut two in the show notes.
Number one, there's a situation where the Bank of England, and people think, hey, the Bank of England is like the Fed, right? Maybe even more responsible. The Bank of England has been late or failed to deliver on some clearing of gold, and there's questions of do they actually have the gold they think they have? Is there anything to this? Is this commitment they've had to clear this within the bounds of the time frame, or does something happen here with the Bank of England, Philip Patrick?
Yeah, we're working through it. It's certainly big news in the industry, but the Bank of England right now is under siege. The vaults are being emptied at a rapid pace. About 8,000 bars now have been shipped, and these are the big commercial gold bullion bars. We're talking 3.2 million ounces. That's the equivalent of South Korea's national gold reserves have now found a new home. The media latched onto this because Deputy Governor of the Bank of England, Sir Dave Ramsden, admitted that they wouldn't be able to meet the 14-day delivery requirement, which technically could be considered now a default. The lawyers, I think, will work through and settle that question. At the moment, London's saying they need 6 to 8 weeks to make a two-week delivery. So currently, this is being described as a liquidity crisis rather than a solvency crisis. But on the other hand, the Bank of England has been begging nations whose gold reserve that they custody to loan their gold to the Bank of England. And that's obviously concerning in the current climate. It seems like when a liquidity crisis becomes a solvency crisis, we only discover the truth too late. So right now, it is a technical default, not a solvency issue, but we're going to have to watch and see how this thing unfolds.
Well, hang on for a second. Liquidity crisis is pretty bad when it comes. What is actually delivery? What is this transaction about? And when's the last time, bro, you're a professional, when's the last time the Bank of England couldn't deliver and had, oh, well, we'll get to you in six to eight weeks? That's a lot longer than 14 days, brother. What was actually this delivery on? And when Philip Patrick starts off, yeah, the vaults of the Bank of England are emptying even as we're speaking. Probably got the audience more worked up now than when we started. So walk me back through that one more time. I take it this interview is going to take longer than I thought. Start at the beginning. Take your time and walk through this.
So look, when we talk about physical delivery, we're talking about physical delivery of a commodities contract. 1 to 2% of contracts usually request physical delivery. But what we're seeing at the moment generally is gold is flooding out of London. And this was the center of the world's gold market. There's a number of reasons why, right? First of all, and sort of the overarching theme, is just massively increasing demand. And you and I have discussed this. It's being driven by central banks and investors alike. Secondly, there's an arbitrage play here. And this is ultimately how markets respond to price dislocations. Right now, the gold futures price in New York is high enough over the London cash price that it's profitable to rent a cargo plane, fill it with gold, and ship it to the US Commodities Exchange. This difference has always existed, but it's almost never profitable enough to warrant shipping. Today it is because U.S. demand is higher for precious metals, for gold specifically, than anywhere else, right? A bar of gold is worth more here in the U.S. today than a bar of gold anywhere else, making the trade profitable. On top of that, of course, we've got the potential of tariffs driving up commodity prices on all imports. So there's massive pressure right now to onshore product in anticipation of further demand surges. Look at JP Morgan. They just shipped 3 million ounces of gold bullion from the London bullion market to the US. That's the second largest gold bullion delivery in history. What this tells me, though, I think it's a reminder that gold is almost uniquely a physical asset, first and foremost, not just a financial asset. We have to remember a lot of the trading we see in the gold markets is imaginary, right? It's simply made up. for some numbers, in London, there's 20 million ounces of gold that are traded every day. That's roughly an entire year's of production traded every week. We see another 27 million ounces trading every day on the COMEX. That's the entire world's production of newly mined gold traded every 2.5 days. Spoiler alert,
okay,
there isn't that much.
And folks, if you want to finish watching that, go ahead. But the bottom line here, it's all fake. It's all fraudulent. It's not, when you're trading in futures and EBTs, and it's not real unless you have the physical. But what he said there, the largest shipment to the U.S. ever, wow, that caught my attention. And when you start looking at, and tell me if I'm wrong. By the way, Steelers mom, good to see you. My goodness, real joy. Thank you so much. So many people in the chat, always there. Really the backbone of the program. God bless all of you. I can't name everyone, but thanks for being here. But tell me, you know, am I wrong to compare this maybe to the exposure that the fraud, the waste, the abuse, the BS, the theft, grand theft, the larceny by the elected officials? Am I wrong to compare what's happening with gold and precious metals all around globally with this lining one's pockets, whether it be, lining one's pockets? Is there a link there? Could there be a link there? One of the examples, and I saw this in the chat, one of the examples of, I'm going to just say fraud, because there is no way in the world. There's just no way. I mean, you could be the biggest moron out there, and there's no way that this should ever fly. This is page one in the show notes. This kind of gives you an idea. You've probably seen this going around on social media. This is the age range of government benefits, Social Security to be specific, and Medicare and Medicaid. I'm by all appearances here, the age range and the number of people collecting the government benefits, Medicare, and there might be Medicaid here as well. Forgive me for not knowing that. But regardless, the age, look at this age range. Okay. You can really stop after, oh, we'll be generous. You can stop after 109 and take everything after that, you know, and consider that fraud. I mean, because to pay out someone who is ostensibly, I don't know, 360 years old, there's at least one payout there that you can see for someone in that age range, 360 to 369. You've got to be a complete moron to be approving that, allowing that to go out. Really, anything, I would say anything over 99, you better be checking really close. I mean, very close. And of course, the lower ages with respect to death of a family member, you know, a father, mother, whatever, I would be auditing that as well. In fact, audit the entire thing. Maybe, I mean, look at the chart. Look at the chart. Look at those ages. Again, this is not by accident. This can't be by, people cannot be that stupid. So I would chalk this up right to fraud more than anything else. And you know, it's funny. Well, not funny, ha ha, but it's interesting, because when these different politicians, elected officials, are seeing the various government agencies facing a review or audit, especially senators on the left, such as Ron Wyden and Elizabeth Warren, have been shouting, wait a second, privacy. Privacy is an issue here. And the media is climbing onto that as well. But we saw perhaps why the media is climbing onto that when we saw the payouts to Politico and other places. But the left and the allied media, they're really on their soapbox pushing this hard narrative that Musk and Doge, they might have access to sensitive systems at the IRS. There's a privacy concern here. Well, wait a second. Aren't the very people who are superintending, who are behind those, are they not? Do they not have access to that information? Where are the privacy concerns there? There was a letter written Monday today to IRS Acting Commissioner Douglas O'Donnell, where certain left senators are saying, wait a second, we've got serious concerns that Musk and his associates are weaponizing government databases containing very private bank account information, bank records, other confidential data to target American citizens and businesses as part of a political agenda. So there's a couple of things built in there, that you've got the privacy thing, the privacy concern, and then you've got the weaponization of the information to advance a political agenda. Oh, how precious is that? When you think back and you think what the Department of Justice has done to President Trump and to you saw him, to Steve Bannon, Peter Navarro, to all of the J6 people. How about the parents at school boards and the, I mean, it doesn't make sense. They think you're stupid. They think we're stupid. By the way, that quote or that statement I made about the weaponization of government databases containing private bank records and other confidential information to target American citizens and businesses as part of a political agenda. You know who said that? Who wrote that? Senator Ron Wyden, ranking member of the Senate Committee on Finance, and Senator Elizabeth Warren wrote that together. And she's a ranking member of the Senate Committee on Banking, Housing, and Urban Affairs. Now, isn't that something? Why wouldn't they want full and complete transparency? Well, obviously the reason, and I'm going to say this flat out, the reason, I would follow the money, check their bank accounts. Because remember, you go into this, and I've got Elizabeth Warren. Do you realize how much she is worth? Ron Wyden as well. These people go into jobs paying between $174,000 and $200,000 a year, and they come out within a couple of years having net worths in the millions. How does that work? Well, perhaps, maybe some are legitimate, you know, where there's some decent investments or property investments, but I would say that 99.9% is something a little bit more nefarious than that. And back in 2023, in April, the Department of Justice Inspector General Michael Horowitz He testified before Congress and stated that more than three to four million search queries into the NSA database took place between December 1, 2020 and December 30th, 2021 by government officials or the contractors working on behalf of the federal government. Now, within that particular set of numbers, and the reason I bring this up, about a third of those 3.4 million search queries were outside of the rules and regulations that govern warrantless searches. In other words, non-compliant searches. Okay, now hold on, hold on. What does that mean? That means that more than 1 million searches of private data, private documents containing private and confidential data and communications, by the way, of you and I, us Americans, were illegal. Not that any heads rolled over that. The perps are still either in power or they've got their positions at the cable news networks. But they had access to databases that contains all of the information of every single American, whether it be emails, texts, social security numbers, social media posts even, geolocation identifiers. Think of that, though. 1 million searches during that time period were illegal that allowed those very people to access our private information. Now, suddenly, Warren and Wyden are concerned about privacy? It was that chart I showed you that Elon Musk showed that millions of people marked in Social Security were alive when they're not. Obviously, they're not. And he said, look, that's a huge problem. Where's that money going? That is, my bad, that is Social Security. So where is that money going? And is the concern really about privacy? No, it's not. You know, when you look at the cumulative number of people, or that chart, when you consider the cumulative number in the chart, you're looking at several hundred million people, which is much more than the population of the United States. So you would have to have fraudulent numbers to be sure. So I ask, so let me go back to the beginning, because again, Steve's going to be on Thursday. We're going to be talking about gold, silver, not to sell, but the lack thereof in the Ponzi scheme, but in a different way than you've heard it before, I think. That's my understanding after talking with him today, because I did ask him some very pointed questions about that. And it's now coming to a point where, you know, if they audit the Fed, if they audit Fort Knox, well, this could be game over to some extent. Not only because of that, but because of the panic. Imagine if you had, well, remember the silver certificates. You used to be able to trade a dollar for a dollar silver coin, right? Think of it that way in your mind. Okay, maybe that's not the best example to use, but how many people could possibly do that and walk away with their silver coin or their gold coin, or the gold bar, whatever it might be? Not enough. And what would that cause? And just the thought of that, what would that cause? telling you. But to have Wyden, especially, and Warren, especially concerned about this, yeah, there's something definitely wrong. And I do suspect that we are seeing, that we will see some things, some bad things happen on the economic front in the near term. I really do. I'm going to check on the border real quick. Now, again, J.J. Carroll's going to come on top of the hour. Talk about treason. And yes, talk about the border some. But the people, I noticed in his book, Treason, he's talking about the people and the policies that the people in charge, what they did, and why they did it. And this is all definitely, the word treason sometimes gets overused, I think. Many people may say, it's really not. I mean, treason is too hard of a word. I don't think so. Consider this, and this is about the border now. Consider this. In the last 24 hours, this is Tom Homan. A total of 229 people were encountered by Border Patrol on the southwest border. Compare that to, 11,000 just a month ago? And during the entirety of the 4 years of the Biden regime, does that mean like we just walked away and we're not encountering anybody because we're not trying? No, it means that there has been a change. I'm telling you right now, this to me is one, to me, this is one of the most important issues that we need to talk about. Now, there are some other things, and we're beginning into that tomorrow, talking about, I think the next round of a pandemic is coming, a lockdown. We're seeing that stuff here in Pennsylvania, in Erie, in Pennsylvania, but specifically Erie with respect to the hospital system. UPMC is saying you've got to wear masks because of this trio of viruses now, you know, H5N1, the RSV, and a third one. Oh, you've got to wear masks. My butt, no, and hell no. But you see, once these people in power, once they gain power, they will never give it up. Once they have the power to say, nope, you're not getting in without a mask. I was talking with Rob Pugh, the editor of Wisconsin Christian News today. And he was telling me about an encounter a couple of years ago he had where Maynard's, and I'm not familiar with Maynard's, or at least not intimately familiar with it, but they have them in the Midwest, where they had a patrol car parked in the parking lot and would not let anyone into Maynard's without a face mask. Okay, so look, it was almost the same here, and I'm sure many of the people listening and viewing was the same. But we cannot afford to go through this again, even with President Trump in his capacity as president. Look, the certain states have the right to have certain rights, I should say, okay, but mandating masks or certainly shots, unless it's codified in the law one way or the other, no. And I say one way or the other, I don't think it would ever or could ever be codified to require masks or, if on someone's say so, or require an injection. But what we could do is insist that should never, at least at a federal level, that should never be required. I'm not sure how well we do with the state level initiative on that. But this is video, or this is cut three. This is only 55 seconds long, but this is Tom Homan. I thought this was fabulous. Check this out. Cut three.
I mean, look, President Trump's been clear. We're going to put the worst of the worst at Gitmo. And look, and I've said it before, I'll say it again. No one's off the table. If you're in this country illegally, it's not okay. But President Trump has said from day one, we're going to concentrate on public safety threats and national security threats. You know, Varner, I looked at the numbers today. In the last 24 hours, a total of 229 people were encountered by the Border Patrol on the southwest border. 229. I haven't seen that. I've been doing this job since 1984 as a Border Patrol agent. I've never seen the numbers that low. 229 compared to 11,000 a day under Biden. We doubled the number of criminal aliens arrested. We doubled the number of illegal aliens arrested in the interior. We doubled the number of gang members trained to Agua and MS-13. President Trump made a promise to the American people, and we're keeping that promise. The numbers are extraordinary. We're not there yet. We got more to do, but I look at those numbers this morning, I just shake my head. How much President Trump has accomplished in less than a month.
Indeed, in less than a month. That is a Trump effect. Again, you know, you could take a look at President Trump and say, well, I don't like his policies here or there, but you have to admit they're functional. I mean, just by him, just by his election, you had this dramatic decrease. Now, Eric the Tech, I apologize for this, but I wanted to show this as well, because again, I'm very, look, my family has been absolutely devastated from the poisoning by fentanyl. I'm not saying overdose, I'm saying poisoning. Okay. And the more I talk to other people about this, I'm talking about I'm talking about pills that are disguised as medication that have fentanyl used as a filler because it's cheap. You can use cornstarch. I mean, you know, but no, fentanyl. So I take this personally. I was with Angel Moms in D.C. I've talked to, and we've had Angel Moms on, Angel Families that have, their children have been murdered by illegal invaders. Their children have died because of fentanyl poisoning. I've spoken to police, and I've been with police officers who were knocked to the ground because of the residue from fentanyl on equipment like computer laptops. We have to understand this is a war. This is a biological war being waged by communist China against the U.S. And you might say, well, this really wouldn't be a problem if the demand wasn't there. You know what? You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. 100% right. That doesn't take the sting out of it. And it certainly doesn't take the... You're correct, but the fact that it is there is still an issue because it can be weaponized in other ways. I hope I made sense in that, okay? It could be sprinkled on whatever. I saw a social media post, and I'm not sure if this was staged or what. There was a $20 bill in the, but folks, you see this? There was a $20 bill folded in half in a Walmart parking lot, and the person filming used his shoe to move the top flap of the 20, again, which was folded in half, that revealed a white substance, a white powder. Frankly, with fentanyl, you don't even have to have that much. 3 grains of fentanyl, like three salt grains, basically, would be enough to kill a person who is not insulated from or has not built up a tolerance to fentanyl. So that was a little overkill. Again, I'm not certain if that if that was real or not. But the reason I bring this up, there are other ways to weaponize that and other synthetic chemical weapons from China through Mexico and into the U.S. I wanted to show this, and you know, I'm not sure. Let me just double check. I think I might have bookmarked it on my X feed. This is, I don't know how many people have seen this. This is Ben Berkwam. Let me just check my bookmarks, Eric the Tech Guy. I apologize that I would have to ask you to do this. If you can grab this from my bookmarks on X, if you're logged in. Yeah, I do. If you play like the last half, play like the first minute or first, I'm sorry, first 30 seconds. No, you know what? Just play the last half of the first video I bookmarked. It's by Ben Berkwam. I don't know how many people saw this, but Ben and others were at the El Paso sector of the border. And to see, first of all, to see that area and to know that you're walking on this gravel path, and on one side is the U.S., on the other side is Mexico, but to see the absolute, I'm not even sure how I would describe it, the absolute terrorizing part of the cartels, where they don't care about human lives. They don't care about you. They don't care about the policy changes. These are the hard, to me, these are the hardened cartel members. Now, you're going to see some running and stuff. Obviously, the cartel members, the real hard ones are not out in front and they don't run. They're the ones in the, you know, in the back with the heavily guarded with weapons and such. But in this case, I think it's important for people to see Ben's work, to see the border. And although it has been tightened, which will be part of the, again, the second hour, in addition to the treason aspect of everything, I think this is a good update for people. But it's really the second half that I would say is important. So anywhere you could find in the second half, Eric the Tech, number one, did you get your mic fixed? Number two, did you happen to find that and can we play it? Okay. Sounds like you got your mic somewhat fixed. Anyway, I appreciate that. So if you don't mind, let's hit this. We'll call this, and I'll put this in the show notes, I guess. We'll call this video 7. And here this is the second half of Ben Berkwam's part 2 of a series that really gives you an idea of what the cartels are doing. And I think Ben is one of, look, Michael Yon, Ben Berkwam, Oscar Ramirez, all of these guys down there, and Vandersteel, by the way, along with Michael Yon, are doing a fantastic job. And them, especially in the Darien Gap area, whereas Ben Berkwam, although he's been down at the Darien Gap, at least he's been up, or in this case, he's up on the U.S. side of the Mexican border. But I thought this was rather interesting and rather telling, especially in advance of J.J. Carroll coming on at 10 o'clock or the top of the hour. Here's video 7, the second half, basically. Here it is.
What's crazy to think is this is after increased enforcement. You still have this level of activity. What is scary to me is to think about how many people got through in the last 4 years when we didn't have this enforcement and there were so many of these sectors that were wide open.
With the larger numbers and larger numbers of people required to do processing, you had more illegal entries. Illegal human smuggling is a multi-billion dollar per year criminal enterprise for the cartels. So they've kind of been, I think, a little bit stunned past few weeks by the increased presence here. And I think that's curtail their operations. But they're trying to make money, so they're still going to try.
Knoxville, Tennessee. This is the situation here. We've got one apprehended. We've got three more up on the hilltop. Two of them said they were Mexican military. One of them is apparently the coyote. We're trying to verify if any of what the two said about themselves is true, whether they're military. We've got four more on the hill right directly behind me, and at least three or four more up on the hilltop by Monument 2, all spread out, basically trying to pull Border Patrol resources. The cartel's not stopping. As you heard, they're still going to try to make their money. And these guys have to do this every single day. This guy from Vietnam has an address for Knoxville, Tennessee, everywhere in our country.
We use the term transnational criminal organizations because they're operating in multiple countries, and they have very sophisticated recruiting programs. They use a lot of social media, but we've even talked to Chilean journalists, for example, where they have Mexican nationals and Tren de Aragua members smuggling people across the border from Bolivia through the Atacama Desert into northern Chile, and they're part of the same criminal organizations that are operating here in Ciudad Juarez. Yeah, that's the guy that was over the hill.
Yeah. See the radio on his hip? That's definitely the coyote. Oh, there you go. There's your shot, David.
Eric the Tech, I got that just for you, that moonshot.
So the cartel thinks of you, America. Now he's okay, moving over. He's talking to somebody.
You can cut that. Yeah, there was a portion in that. And folks, you can watch the entire 12-minute video. There was a portion in there where Ben was running after one of the... it was actually a cartel member. Well, I'm sorry, a coyote. Cartel member as well. And it was rather interesting the way that played out, okay? Where he... It was like, you know... Home free. What is that? That kid's thing saying, I'm home free. You can't touch me. Separated by what? Just a 100 feet. And there he is throwing rocks at Ben Berquam. Of course, they caught a couple, but it's a huge difference than the way it was. Now, with respect to Tom Homan, and I was able to speak with someone this afternoon about this. There are additional operations that will be taking place in the interior of the U.S. in headlining making ways. I'm telling you, folks, just be ready because these operations are going to leave a huge mark. There are reports of ammunition stockpiles, weapon stockpiles. And I've got this, right, not quite from the horse's mouth, but pretty doggone close. I'll say from the horse's mane. And they will be showing these stockpiles of weapons. I'm talking about places like Chicago, St. Louis. St. Louis especially, for some reason. And of course, all along the Northeast Corridor, from Maine to New York, New Jersey. There's a lot of things going on, but absolutely excellent report by Ben Berquam. Before the top of the hour, I want to just touch on something I talked about last week, at the end of last week, and that was the underpinnings of this coup that we've seen from Kennedy forward. And I want to thank LOW, for the emails and for the additional information. We left off at that Watergate was just an incredible operation. that really took out. It was a bloodless coup. It was a silent coup. In fact, there was a book written called Silent Coup to take out Richard Nixon. And the Watergate burglary made absolutely no sense when you had Nixon winning by so much, and it was unnecessary. It was carried out by a bunch of it was a CIA IC operation, and it was destined to take President Nixon out. Now, you don't have to be a fan of President Nixon to say, well, you don't have to be. You don't have to dislike him or like him. The fact that it happened is a problem. Okay, so kind of left off there, but without getting deep there, when you move ahead to the 80s, something that kind of sets up and points to the 9/11 attacks, but more than that, I mean, with all due respect to the lives lost on that day, the creation of the police state subsequent to and as a consequence of 9/11. You know, when you look back at the 1980 presidential election, there was something called the Bush-led cartel. And they worked to prevent Carter's reelection. So remember during 1980, there were some 52 American hostages in Iran. And that dogged the Carter administration. Carter was working on trying to get them released, and Bush was working behind the scenes to set up his empire, his enterprise, and I use that word deliberately, under Reagan. So he was kind of working against Carter during that time, kind of sabotaging his attempts to have the hostages released prior to the election. So there was this, you know, October surprise planned, and then a counter surprise, the Republican or the right counter surprise under Bush, under Reagan, but under Bush specifically, was really a demonstration of the capabilities of the forces of this deep state, the secret government that I spoke of, to operate counter to the legal chain of command. There was a secret network, and still is, of individuals within the CIA, within the military, who were very loyal to a vertical reporting hierarchy that created, oh, I don't know, information and practical supply chains, really from Europe to Iran. And you think a lot of money is passing hands today. I mean, adjusted for inflation, I would say probably that, you know, similar amounts were changing hands between Iran, NATO countries, and I say money, but also weapons and supplies, very much like it was today or like it is today. People like Bill Casey, the head of the CIA, working with Iran to make deals. George H.W. Bush flying to Paris during this time to meet face-to-face with the Iranians to close a deal post-Carter Reagan election. You had all of this taking place. By the way, and I didn't know this, George H.W. Bush actually returned from Paris in one of his meetings with the Iranians in an SR-71. Did you know that? I didn't know that. At least that's what has been, that was reported. Whether or not that is 100% factual, you know, verified? I couldn't tell you. But there's a lot more to this that we'll get in at a later date. Just let me know in the chat if in fact you'd want that continued right through the present. And that'll give me a chance. In fact, I'll look at the chat right now, because on deck I have with me J.J. Carroll. Again, the folks, I am so excited. I have an advanced copy of his book, Treason. And it's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing. It will be the absolute best investment of information and information analysis by somebody who's actually worked in this arena. And thank you, Chad. Thank you for the answers. But watch for this to go on sale, the Kindle edition, the electronic edition, tomorrow. And the hard copy edition on Amazon, and the hard copy edition, I think, on Wednesday. Now, he can correct me when he comes on if I'm not correct in that. So, but I will tell you, there's nothing that beats a hard copy. Nothing. And the hard copy, you know, you can take it anywhere with you. You don't have to charge your iPad or whatever, your phone, whatever you might read it on. But this information, or the book, is jam-packed with information, and I just absolutely cannot speak highly enough about. This is up there with the books I showed you last week, you know, with Peter Schweitzer's work and Seamus Bruner and other books. I'm telling you, this is right up there. So in this case, I'm very excited about you reading it, because I was able to read. And I'll tell you something, it is just fabulous. But before I bring Mr. Carroll on, I want to show you this. Tonight, well, you saw the video of, I showed you the video of Ben Berkwam at the border, 229 encounters as opposed to 11,000. Okay, the people behind this no longer running things. Thank God. Well, just like before, tonight, there I am. I happen to be watching John Solomon, and who did I see but J.J. Carroll, and he made a lot of sense in this. This is a minute 18. This is cut A in the show notes. I believe it's cut A. Let me double check. This is Joe Biden's dangerous immigration infrastructure. Folks, watch the entire interview at RAV, John Solomon's show. Terrific interview and a terrific man. But here we'll play the clip and then bring him on. Here it is, cut A.
Well, the engine to the machine is the NGOs. Without the NGOs, this cannot happen. You are looking at, Congress has admitted to 30 million people across the border in 4 years. The government, Joe Biden, admitted to almost 17 to 18 million. So if you want to split hairs, you can go ahead. But I'm telling you, 30 million people crossed the border illegally. How did that happen? How did they get 30 million people from 180 different nations out of 195 nations on planet Earth? Well, they did it from international NGOs through the through the UN, USAID. We paid international NGOs to move millions of people onto the border, cross the border, and then we paid through FEMA and DHS, through FEMA, paid domestic NGOs, which they're blurred between the international and domestic, and moved 30 million people into America. And when you go through the statistics, the data of who these people were that crossed in the border, let me tell you, you are looking at millions of criminal aliens. You're looking at least a million terrorists. It's called special interest aliens, SIAs. You can split hairs all you want, but our government purposely destroyed our sovereignty and put us in the most dangerous position in American history. And we're still in that danger zone right now as we
absolutely. And I'll tell you, the numbers are staggering. Just in the book Treason alone, for example, pages 17, 18, and 19 give you some numbers that'll just absolutely astound you. And J.J. Carroll also spoke about the NGOs. I mean, places like OIM, IOM, depending on which country you're referencing, the highest Catholic Charities. I'm telling you, these are organizations that are engaged in human trafficking, child sex trafficking, drug trafficking, and assisting in the takedown of our country. So with that, and it's my pleasure to have back with me on the eve of his book being out for all of us to purchase, is J.J. Carroll. Sir, thank you for coming back on. Appreciate it.
Doug, I'm very happy to be back with you. Thank you for having me and allowing me to promote my book and talk about what I have been saying is the greatest threat to our republic. It's not China, Russia. It is our own treasonous government that has weaponized illegal immigration to fundamentally transform our nation right in front of our eyes.
And what you point out in the book, you know, it's something we all know, but you get into detail about it. This was not done by, you know, stupidity, stupid actions or incompetence. This was done deliberately to take down our nation.
Yes, wow. Because, well, you know, the greatest rebuttal to anyone that says, well, that's absurd. Well, then let me just bring you back 3 weeks ago, day one of Trump's term in office. Day one, not day 1,000, day one, he shut the border down. And I've been saying that for as long as I've been alive. They say, well, how long will it take you to shut the border down if you were in charge? I said, I could do it within 24 hours. It'd be done. And they go, oh, well, how? That's impossible. There's 20,000 people crossing a day. I go, I know. You put the border patrol there, you build a wall, and you put the military. In one day, Donald Trump stopped the flow of illegal immigrants from the height of Joe Biden's time to 97% down. Like you just said, Ben Berquam, and I'm hearing the same numbers from my guys on the border, 200, 300 arrests. I want your audience to understand, that's 2,000 miles on the southern border and 5,500 miles on the northern border. 200 people, 300 people are arrested. That's like a little drip out of your faucet, whereas the fire hydrant for 4 years has been someone ran it over, their car ran over, and we just have been water spewing out all over the street. That's the difference between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. Going back to what we're saying, it was strategically and purposefully and intentionally done, Doug. They made a decision to open the border. That's not even me saying, well, this is what I'm hypothesizing. Doug, I was there. Yeah. I ran a station in San Diego sector. My last year in the Border Patrol was Joe Biden's first year. I witnessed the treason firsthand because I had to push those constitutional orders down. I tried my best to mitigate them to the point where me and my boss, we just said, there's nothing more we can do. And I said, I was at my wit's end, and I just said, I've done enough. I'm not taking part of this anymore, and I retired after 24 years.
What else, you know? What else could you do? You were left with really no other alternative other than facilitate the invasion itself, and that's obviously not what you were going to do. Okay. So, where do you see the thing that bothers me is the assistance by people like AOC and others, mm-hmm. who are helping the people already here evade detection and avoid arrest. How's that going to play out, do you think?
I think we're going to see, and I'll make a prediction. I'm watching and listening to Tom Homan speak. He's getting more and more frustrated. I would bet within a week, a major politician is going to be arrested. Just watch.
Really?
I believe so, because there is no other way. So I want your audience to understand what we're talking about here. You have people like AOC, Pritzker. I can go on and on and on. They're harboring illegal aliens. And worse than that, they're harboring violent felon illegal aliens. And when you harbor or conceal or further their entrance into America, that is called 8 USC 1324. That's a smuggling charge that we would always put on the coyotes and the drug smugglers. We would use that code. That code's applicable to AOC. Understand what they're doing.
Instead of turning over a murderer, a rapist, a child rapist, and allowing me to put my handcuffs on that savage inside a secure facility, meaning a state or local jail, they're releasing that hardened felon criminal savage onto the streets. And then I have to go into their apartment complex to go arrest them. You know how dangerous that is, Doug?
Oh, yeah, I do.
So we're looking at a ticking time bomb where you're going to have, in the very, very near future, agents and officers being sniped and killed in the line of duty because of these politicians. And if Pam Bondi, who I would never want to tangle with, if that happens, she has to draw the direct line between that politician and that murder and say, you played a major part of it. You're culpable. You're under arrest. And it's not going to have to take that many. You're going to arrest one or two of these impotent, cowardly politicians. The rest of them will just run scared. And Donald Trump, through Tom Homan, has got to have the courage to do what needs to be done. Period.
Okay. And you know, I can see that. I'll even give you the end of the month on that. I can see that taking place, especially in the wake of an ambush of an operation, or an operation being members of law enforcement being ambushed. I can see that taking place. 1824 and I think 25 as well applies. Who's now in your book Treason? And folks, again, let me be sure, Mr. Carroll, it's coming out tomorrow is the Kindle edition, and then Wednesday is the hard copy on Amazon.
Almost. So the ebook has gone out, and I love Amazon. I think they're great for self-publishers like myself that don't want to deal with the censorship of the bigger publishers. Ebook came out early for whatever reason. It's real fast. My paperback will come out on Tuesday, or actually Wednesday at 12:01 midnight, 12:01, okay. And it comes live on the 19th. I'm excited about it. It's already been listed as the number one new release in Amazon because of the sales already on ebook and all the other measurements. So I'm excited about what this book is going to do as far as sales, because for sales to me does not equal money. It equals reach. It equals people, I believe, seeing the truth. I mean, everything in my book is citated. I want you to fact check everything. Everything that I say is either from my experience, and I can go back through my historical knowledge and prove that this is what I'm saying is true, or it's citated. It's notated, and you can go fact check me. But this was, and I believe it's important, Doug, to talk about this in these terms, because when we're looking at what's being uncovered right now with USAID, and to understand that USAID was a major driver of funding our own suicide. We funded our own death through USAID in the tune of billions, hundreds of billions of dollars through USAID, DHS, and FEMA. Listen, we just had last week, you still have people living in tents in North Carolina, and FEMA siphoned $59 million for one hotel in New York City. One hotel got $59 million after Trump said no, and we still have people freezing to death in North Carolina. What in the hell is going on in this country?
Yeah, absolutely. It's my understanding that hotel, the Roosevelt Hotel, is owned by Pakistan, the government of Pakistan. Is that right? I mean, how crazy is that?
I don't mean to interrupt you, but
no, go ahead.
I want you, your audience, to also understand. One hotel, Roosevelt Hotel, holds 5,000 illegal aliens every single night. Do you know how much it costs the city of New York, which was basically backstopped by your money, the federal government? It's going to shock you. And I had it in my first book. $1 billion a year. $1 billion a year to fund the operation of the Roosevelt Hotel. One hotel, Doug, $1 billion with a B. That's staggering. That's staggering.
Okay. Wow. I was just trying to get that through my work that mentally. That's more than I can even calculate. And 5,000 people, that holds 5,000.
Yep. Invaders? 28 stories. Yep. 28 stories. And I actually interviewed for my documentary the man that was hired to start the Roosevelt Hotel. And then he's the one who told me, yep, here's the contracts, here's everything. Yep, and they're renewable. It's $1 billion a year. So I'm not hearing this. And I have it documented. We also have news stories saying how much they got. This is an open source. It's so mind-boggling. I just want your audience, at the height of Joe Biden's time in office, New York City had 50% of their hotels were contracted to house illegal aliens. 50%. And I want everyone to understand, when I'm telling you they live in hotels, they get 3 square meals a day. They get same day laundry service. They get debit cards with cash on it, preloaded and continually uploaded. Every month, more money, more money, more money. We're nothing but a bunch of suckers. Do you know that people that come here illegally and get on SSI, Social Security Supplemental Insurance, do you know they make more money? They get more money than someone that's worked for 30 years, say, in construction. The average American gets $1,400 a month on Social Security. Do you know how much illegal aliens are getting? $2,200 a month.
Okay. Who is responsible for that specifically? I mean, that and USAID, but who is responsible for saying, okay, they'll get 2,200 and whatever the retiree over here gets, you know, that's what they get. But I mean, who's responsible for assigning that money to the illegals?
Well, that's all mandates from HHS, Social Security. It's all a cabal of treason. I have a friend that was, he is a Border Patrol agent higher up, and he got cross designated to be an asylum officer. And then he's able to pull back the curtain and he says, JG, you will not believe they get every social benefit, but to the max. Whereas a U.S. citizen has to go and say, look, okay, this is what you put into the system. This is what you can get out. No, illegal alien straight from Afghanistan gets the maximum of everything. Maximum WIC, maximum Section 8 for welfare, SNAP. You name the social benefit, they get the maximum and you don't. They haven't paid. They haven't even been in America before, and they get more money than you do. And everyone says that. I remember when I first started to make these announcements, people go, I just don't believe that. Really? Now you're looking at USAID, and I don't want to feel vindicated. I don't find any joy in this. I wish I was wrong, but I'm 100% right, and I've been 100% right for a very, very long time, Doug. And it's just finally caught up to where everyone's like, well, how did you know that? How did you? Well, because I have two brain cells rattling around. How does somebody that is from Afghanistan that number one, their government doesn't give them, our government does not give them a work authorization document, so they can't work, they can't sustain themselves. Where do they, you think they don't eat? How do you think they eat? How do you think they're cleaning their clothes? How do you think they got a cell phone? How do you think they're buying cars and for cash? And mopeds for cash. Well, it's because you, the American sucker, have been giving away all your money. And we're about, what are we, in the tax season right now? So as you write your tax bill to the federal government, which you should not do because you don't have to pay them, but if you do, you're just giving it away. You're working your ass off to give it to people that should not even be here. Think about what our government has done to us for decades. Somebody, and I don't mean somebody, I mean some bodies in thousands need to be prosecuted and they need to be charged with treason, because what they have done to America and Americans is grotesque, and they need to be held accountable. And I want the maximum punishment tied to them.
100%. I agree with you, as well as our listeners and viewers, I'm sure. Folks, my very special guest is J.J. Carroll. Folks, please follow him and support him. He's got a documentary titled thisistreason.com at thisistreason.com. But you can go to his website, jjcarroll.com. And that's C-A-R-R-E-L-L, jjcarroll.com. Also, you can follow him on X, or as I like to say, Twitter. Okay, but you can follow him on X at jjcarroll14. That's jjcarroll number 14. As well as on Truth Social, jjcarroll, as well as on Substack for extra credit right there. Just search jjcarroll. Folks, a lot of great information, but the real important information is we're talking about treason, and isn't it something that he's got a book coming out? It'll be out. I'm going to order it, my copy. Yes, I've got an advance, but I'm going to order my copy at 12:02 a.m. Okay, I'm telling you, I want to be one of the first ones, and I would urge everyone to do so as well, because it is that important for you to have that. The name of his book is Treason. Of course, the link will be in the program description box, and folks, please definitely grab a hold of that copy. Okay, so where do we stand today? I mean, I'm cautiously optimistic, but we got a lot of people around. I'm hearing of I was talking to somebody today that would know about this, but I'm hearing of weapon stockpiles in the U.S., ammo stock. I mean, things that shouldn't be here available to the cartels and the people that want to do us harm. Do you know anything about that? And I mean, how much danger are we in right now from the people who are here, and can we get them all out? I mean, there's a whole bunch of questions I've got, but take wherever you want to start.
Well, let's start with the PLA soldiers, okay?
Okay.
Right. So we have documented over 200,000 Chinese nationals crossed in the last 4 years. To give the audience some context, the last year of Donald Trump's term in office, we arrested less than 1,900 Chinese nationals. And in 4 years, we have over 200,000. I interviewed multiple Alphabet agency guys for my documentary Off the Record, and they told me, and I verify this, there are over 100,000 known PLA soldiers in America right now. And I put a whole chapter on this, on the PLA soldiers and how they maneuver their people here. And then I connected it to the marijuana grows. And why am I connecting it to the marijuana grows across America? Because marijuana grows are cash-based. So follow me on this. When you go to, say, Maine, for example, they are run. Maine has known, DHS and DEA knows, 270 marijuana grows, illegal alien marijuana grows in Maine, all run by Chinese nationals. You go to Oklahoma. Oklahoma has thousands of grows run by Chinese illegal aliens. And where, so think this through, and I've spoken to multiple people that are experts in this. And I used to have a podcast with one of these experts, and he was a genius in this. And he said this over almost a year and a half ago. He said, when you have PLA soldiers here, what's the greatest problem that you have is funding those soldiers, meaning weaponizing them, giving them everything they need. And if you start taking massive wire transfers into America, they're going to get pinged. You're going to lose your money. They're going to trace it. However, if you run a multi-billion dollar a year business of marijuana, it's all cash. So you begin to internally fund your enemy within the walls of America. And it's indisputable. And I cited in my book, and you begin to connect the dots, and it should scare the hell out of you. You have PLA soldiers here. I do a whole thing in my book where I say this, I want you to imagine you're Xi Jinping, and you're one of the generals that have to come and tell this massively powerful man what's going on, and trying to articulate to this guy in a room full of other generals of, hey, sir, I know this sounds crazy, but those dumb Americans opened the border and we poured in all of our soldiers. And I know those generals had to be thinking the whole time, this has to be a trap. There's no way they're allowing us to do this. But they have to go in front of Xi Jinping and tell them what we've done. Sir, we've moved 100,000 PLA soldiers into America, and it gets better, sir. Those dumb Americans are taking our Chinese soldiers and flying them where we're telling them to go. It gets better. They house them, they feed them, they medicate them, they clothe them, and they give them money. No one would believe this.
No.
No one would believe this if, until you realize that the people that open the border hate America. Not my words, their words and their actions. They hate America, and they wanted to fundamentally transform her and bring her to her knees from a demographic shift. We have 50 million illegal aliens in America. We have a 3 to 5 to almost 6 times the birth rate of Native Americans in our birth rate. We're not even replacing ourselves, and we're bringing in people that have birth rates 3 to 6 times the rate of ours. It is a bad math problem with negative variables attached to it. America, you must wake up from your slumber. You think the U.S. aid is bad. You think the Social Security issue is bad. You think the transgenderism of our military and destroying is bad. Wait till you realize that you are going to be outbirthed within 2 generations. It's just a math problem.
Okay, and since we're on that topic, briefly, the issue of birthright citizenship has come up, and there's a big, well, I guess we're fixing on having a big legal fight. I don't believe birthright citizenship was anything beyond the Civil War era intended for that. I mean, that's where it began and ended. Are we going to prevail? When I say we, is that going to be ended, do you think, by the courts?
I want it, yes. The short answer is yes. And the reason why, do you know that this has never gone in front of the Supreme Court? Do you know that? Yes. No. This was a dicta that Supreme Court Justice Brennan under Ronald Reagan. Everyone acts as if this birthright citizenship has been with us from the beginning of our founding. No. This was created by a 1980 ruling, not a ruling on birthright citizenship. It was a dicta, meaning a sidebar issue that has no legal standing. So the Supreme Court Justice Brennan put it in a side note in 1980 something, and everyone glommed onto it and said, okay, if you're born here, you get to be a citizen. And no. And I remember learning this in my immigration nationality class that I had to pass in order to get my badge and my gun. And it's a two-pronged system. And it states this. The 14th Amendment states it very clearly. I have my pocket constitution over there. It's a two-pronged system. You must be born in America, 1, 2, and it's not maybe, it's born in America and under the jurisdiction thereof. And what that means in layman's terms, if I'm an illegal alien, or I'm a legal resident, I mean, a legal alien visiting from Germany, and I go to the Grand Canyon, I'm 7 months pregnant, I'm walking around all day, and my water breaks, and I have a German baby. My German baby's born in the Grand Canyon. It was born in America, yes, but it was under the jurisdiction of Germany, not America. Correct. So that child is a German national. Now, if we all agree on that, and we do, how is it that a Mexican, Guatemalan, Honduran, Sudanese person, a woman can jump over the border and have her baby on the dusty border trail, and that's a U.S. citizen? Where in the Constitution does it state that? And if you go back to the 14th Amendment, this is what it says. It was made for black slaves, African slaves, and their children. And do you know, in that ruling, they excluded Native Americans. Really? Native Americans, they excluded. And now you're telling me we did it for black slaves and their children, excluded Indians, but our founders did the 14th Amendment to include illegal alien Mexicans. Are you really trying to sell me that garbage? That is the insanity that we live in today. Question everything and everybody, because we have been propagandized and lied to for decades in America.
Wow. Okay. I did not know. I didn't know that. And that has to do, folks, with obviously with birthright citizenship. So you can see why J.J. Carroll has is such in such demand everywhere, including here. And again, his book Treason is a really required read. One thing I didn't mention, and I should have mentioned this earlier, his first book, Invaded. Excuse me, Invaded is very, very important background as well. I would highly recommend buying both. If you don't have Invaded, buy this at the same time you buy Treason, and you will be just doubly delighted. Invaded is just a tremendous book. I'm looking at the back cover. Within his first 2 years in office, President Biden and his regime have intentionally destroyed the American immigration system. Really, what more needs to be said? But, you know, there's a why. They're the co-conspirators involved in this as well. And it's interesting because on January 20th, 2021, when Biden did get in, everything did change. And that's what The Invaded is about, and where Invaded left off, I would say, I think with some authority, that Treason picks up and gets into the real nitty gritty of things. So I'm really happy that that this is finally coming out, and that had to be a labor of love for you. I mean, or a big labor for you, because I know how difficult it is. But I want to see, folks, I want to see his book to rise to like number one and get like a lot of attention with respect to the people in power, so they know what's going on. Please, what else is on your mind here? You're so gracious with your time, because I know that people are pulling at you to be on their shows. I want to give you as much leeway as possible. What else is on your mind that we really need to address that you think maybe we haven't or others haven't addressed that needs to be?
Well, I think the major thing that's happening right now is two things had to happen. We have to have multiple wars, multiple fronts on the war on illegal immigration. And the very first front was taken care of, and that was closing the border, right? Your house is flooding. You don't just start running around screaming, going, oh, my house is flooding. No, you go find the main, you close it off, and then you start then you have stopped the water. Then what do you do, Doug? You get a giant hose and you have a suction and you suck all the water out of your house. What you don't do, Doug, is you don't get a red silo cup and start scooping the water. And it's going to take you eternity to do that. And we are now seeing the border shut down, literally shut down. And by the end of the year, a border wall will be set. There will be military. No one's going to come through that border illegally. It's just not going to happen. It's going to shut down. However, what is happening under Tom Homan right now is not fast enough, and he knows it. And I am the biggest Tom Homan supporter. So this is not a critique of Tom Homan. Anyone listen to this? This is not a critique of him, because I know that man knows exactly how to do what needs to be done. I'm watching him. I have a few inside sources that are feeding me stuff, but I'm watching. As a guy that's been in the business, I'm watching his mannerisms. I'm listening to him speak every time he speaks. And I hear a man that is extremely frustrated, a man that feels as he's being sabotaged by his own government, meaning AOC types and all that. And he's frustrated because we cannot do 1,500 illegal alien criminals out of our community every day. That's not enough.
Right.
It needs to be 15,000. It needs to be tens of thousands a day, not 1,500. And my belief is Tom Homan needs more manpower, more funding, and more important than anything else, he needs to hire men that are his lieutenants that will drive his mission. Because if you do not, when you look at military and you look at law enforcement, this is really where things get done, is at the ground level with your sergeants. However, those ground troops and the sergeants have to have someone driving them, and those are your lieutenants. Your lieutenants have to drive. We call them watch commanders in the Border Patrol, but in military and in law enforcement, lieutenants. I don't know if he has enough lieutenants that are surrounding him where he's doing. He doesn't need to be doing the raids. Tom Homan needs to have men that are doing the raids, and he is making sure that all these thousands of illegal aliens are leaving every single day. I just want to see that part of this war accelerated. And I want it to be almost at a very impatient, frenzied attitude and situation where clock is ticking, guys. Do you know that I spoke to a congressman that I really, really respect, and he left that position about maybe 5-6 years ago. And he was one of the first guys to come out and say, he crunched all the numbers. And this was in the early 2000s. Illegal aliens were murdering and committing manslaughter, drunk driving, homicide. 25 Americans were dying every single day. Every single day. Now, it is believed that number has surpassed 40 a day. Wow. 40 Americans are murdered or killed every day by illegal aliens. We're not talking about the endless rapes, the endless pedophilia and child destruction sexually. We're not even talking about the assaults. We're not talking about the drug overdose. We're just talking about murders. 40 a day. So when I tell your audience there needs to be a frenzied effect from Tom Homan and his guys, that's why. Because every day that we don't do it, another 40 Americans die. I don't know about you. 40 is a big number, Doug.
Especially when your family is affected, you know, especially when you're part of that 40. You know, everything else, generally speaking, everything else is a statistic, right? Unless you're in that pool of numbers, and then it's personal and it's devastating. To what extent do you believe that the county sheriffs, like the one in Los Angeles and some other places, are hampering the efforts of Tom Homan and his and what I mean why haven't they? I mean, what can be done? I'm frustrated because having briefly met and interviewed Tom Homan, the guy is a. But I admire the man, but boy, I'll tell you what, he scares the hell out of me. You know, he's intimidating, but I wouldn't want to like cross him. What the hell's up with these sheriffs and stuff? I mean, how are they going to be handled?
Well, number one, they're an embarrassment to our careers. They're an embarrassment to law enforcement. Absolute embarrassment. How do you do it? Pam Bondi's doing it right now. If you are a sanctuary city, or if you try to impede or help illegal aliens, we, the federal government, are going to remove our federal funding. And a lot of people don't know this, Doug, but a very large percentage of a state and local's law enforcement budget comes from the federal government. So right. when you take, we're talking millions upon millions of dollars. So when you extract that, and I ran task force with LAPD, LA Sheriff, we paid for their overtime. We paid for their gas, their cars. Sometimes we paid for their salaries. We did all this. And this was just the one task force. So what you do is you go into LA County or LAPD and you say, we're taking all our money back. And they're going to freak out because it will bring them to their knees. We will strip you of the tens of millions of dollars immediately until you do what we want. It's like going to a restaurant and you buy, you know, $1,000 dinner for your family. It's Christmas and your guys are going to have the best steaks and you pay them $1,000 and they say, I'm not going to make your dinner. Go pound sand.
Right.
What? No. That's what the federal government's going to come in and say, I'm taking everything from you. I'm taking all my money. Now you go figure it out. Where does your HIDTA, your drug enforcement, Where does your human smuggling money come from? Where does your interstate, international task force come from? All that is FBI money. All that is ATF and DEA money, where we're pulling and we're, who do you think's going after all the narcotics and the drugs and the guns and everything? The feds are. And we're using supplementing our task forces with local, state, and local government, PD. And we're going to not do it anymore. Why would we fund you if you're going to hurt me?
Okay. It was my understanding that Pam Bondi, U.S. District Court, Northern District in New York, filed a complaint against the state of New York. Hochul, for example, yes. Letitia James, that is, and the head of the DMV, Mark Schroeder. This happened last week, and the issue was New York's green light law, which or one of the issues, I should say, that made up the factual basis of the claim was the green light law, which basically, it was a law passed in 2020-2021 and signed into effect by Cuomo, the governor, and essentially prevents people from asking about their status. Okay, so what you're saying is, hey, we're the federal government. We're not going to, you want a new cruiser? Ain't going to happen until you comply. Is that what you're, I mean, and where do suits like this fall into place? What if this goes before a liberal court?
Well, yeah.
Will this go to the Supreme Court? And if so, will this be upheld, do you think? I just see a lot of issues. That's going to take a lot of time. Is there any way to fast track this, you know, go beyond that?
You stop funding it right now, and then you let it go through the courts. Where in the Constitution does it say the federal government has to provide task force money for your local PDs? It doesn't. It doesn't.
True. That's
so
true.
I don't need it. It's an executive order. I just pull the money. This is what Donald Trump's doing right now. He's doing what he wants to do, and he's saying, well, take me through the courts. Go ahead. My Supreme Court is majority conservative. Let's go there. Let's take birthright citizenship. Let's take sanctuary cities. Let's take it all. Take it all to the Supreme Court. And that's what Donald Trump needs to do, and he's doing it. And Doug, I think we're at an impasse where – am I going to wait for the judiciary to tell me, the executive, what I can do? The Constitution lays it out. We need to pull an Andrew Jackson and just basically say, thank you very much, court, but I'm not doing it. And there's a quote that some people say is real and some historians say not. Andrew Jackson said to the Supreme Court justice, I had it in front of me, but I don't anymore. He basically said, that Supreme Court justice made the rule. Now you go enforce it.
Yeah, I remember that. Yes, right? Yes, yep.
And his point was, you want to enforce it? Here I am. Come find me. Come. You want to put me in jail? Who's going to do that? How are you going to get through my army and my executive branch protection? You're not. So go ahead and sit down and shut up. And there needs to be a time where the executive is why is the executive subservient to another branch of government? I don't understand. And Donald Trump's not going to do it.
And you know, I was watching. I think Bannon was talking about this earlier today, talking about the early parts of early time of our country when you had Hamilton and Burr and Jackson, and I mean, basically everyone hated everyone. Okay, mm-hmm. It was just a free for all, you know. Mm-hmm. And now we're seeing kind of that. Same thing again, but you know, you bring up a good point. Hey, you know what? Nice cruiser you have there. Too bad it's got 300,000 miles on the wheels falling off. You know, what are you going to do now, next? You know, I get that. But you know, folks, the book Treason, I'm telling you what, it's going to be a treat for you. And if you don't, for some reason, you don't think it's worth it, I'll buy it from you. And I mean that. I'll buy it back from you. But I'm telling you, treason coming out, it's, basically, it's out now, okay? The ebook edition. But look, it's out now, but get a hard copy as well. Make it go to number one on all the charts. Top of the pops, right? That's right. Treason. It's worth every penny of it because it, the information in there is just very detailed, very well cited, very well sourced. And of course, we're talking about a book written by a man who lived this for 24 years. I'm going to tell you, he knows a thing or two about what he's talking about. So again, treason. And don't forget, like I did earlier, the book Invaded by J.J. Carroll. The intentional destruction of the American immigration system. I'm telling you, this is a great book as well. So get them both at the same time. And hey, and you know what? Leave an honest review on Amazon. Because that's what we need to do. We really need to back people who are out there fighting the fight. We've got about 12 minutes left. So. Again, anywhere you want to take this, by the way, I would add this. You're absolutely right. I am frustrated, and I'm sure Mr. Homan is frustrated about the resistance and about the lack, or about the numbers. You know, we should be thousands a day getting them out, and that's just not happening. We're playing too nice, really. You know, I watch the videos. They knock on the door. They've got to abide by certain rules to me that are not, I don't know.
Let me tell you what I would do if I was in charge.
Yeah.
The very first thing that I would do is I'd go to every major city in America. I would have the National Guard with me. And for example, the Roosevelt Hotel has 5,000 people. I hit that hotel at 2:00 in the morning. And I march every single one of those people out of that hotel into a bus and into deportation proceedings immediately. And then I go from hotel to hotel to hotel. And by the time I get to about the third hotel, they've already left. They're running for the hills. And why are we going door to door for 10 agents for one arrest when I can take 100 agents and make 5,000 arrests? So, again, I'm not criticizing Mr. Homan. I have the greatest respect for him, and I believe he is the absolute perfect guy for that job. I'm just telling you, from a guy that's been doing this, I don't like what I'm seeing. I'm telling you that we are going to look for people in needles in haystack when I can take you by the hand and go, there's 5,000 in there. There's an actual city block in Clinton, New York, that houses over 6,000 military-age single adult males. 6,000. I can arrest 6,000 in a couple hours. Why would I do that when it's going to take you almost a week of manpower to arrest 5,000, and I can hand you 6,000 right now? Why are we not doing that?
Okay. Why are we not, like you said, hitting the Roosevelt Hotel? Who is stopping that? Eric Adams, he's on the ropes now, right? And he's suddenly cooperative now that the charges are against him or kind of being withdrawn. Or am I wrong?
No, you're right. Mayor Adams has, and I don't find Mayor Adams to be an intellectual on any level. If you watched his interview with Tucker Carlson, I was embarrassed for him. About halfway through, I turned it off because I was like, this guy is an intellectual midget. Yep. He does not have the capacity to understand or articulate. However, he is a survivalist, and he knows that the deep state was about to throw him in jail, and now Donald Trump threw him a life preserver, and I think he's going to turn state evidence on James and Alvin Bragg, and he knows that the federal funding is going to stop. He's suing the federal government for $80 million. He has no money for these hotels. He has no money for the Roosevelt anymore. So when you have millions, not thousands. He has at least a million illegal aliens in New York City. It is freezing cold in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Where are a million people going to go? Where? And he has that. Yeah, and he has that on his head, and he's responsible for. So if you have people that are freezing to death, starving, hungry, angry, 60 to 70% are single adult military age men. What do you think is going to happen in New York City? Do you think they're going to stay? Do you think they're just going to freeze to death?
No, or do you think they're going to be pretty.
Nope, it's not going to be pretty. You know it as well as I do.
Yeah,
so that's when I come back full circle from what we talked about earlier, Doug. That's why there needs to be this massive sense of urgency that I have to arrest as many people as I can, as fast as I can, and deport them as quick as I can out of my country. That needs to be the attitude within the border czar's control, is almost a controlled frenzy to get them out of your country and arrest them. All of them.
All of them. Exactly. And it seems like we have, certainly we have easy pickings, so to speak, with respect to certain locations with wholesale numbers. So, I agree on that 100%. And you know what? You said something earlier about you would expect to see a leader, elected official, perhaps, being arrested. I would like to see that, and I have a tendency to believe that's going to happen. Just what little I know from who I know it from, I think they're fixing on doing that to make a showing on this. I'm 100% with you on that, So any blowback that you think, obviously we've seen some of the marches and parades, but any more serious blowback that you would say, you know what, folks, keep your eye out because this could very well happen. That's the only other thing I had on my list of things to ask you.
I look at those protests and they don't even know what they're protesting about. They're the dumbest people on planet Earth, especially down in Southern California. Any of those Mexican Americans would go down to Mexico and claim that they're Mexican, they would get run out of that country. Run out of Mexico. They don't consider them Mexicans. They're insignificant. What I believe is I feel a shift in America where we've now come to a realization that the government has stolen trillions of dollars with a T, trillions. They don't want to hear any more sob stories about illegal aliens when they can't make their ends meet and they're frustrated. They can't get a job that's paying the proper wage. No one wants to hear anymore. You could feel the tide turning. So this is where Trump has to go full court press and just don't worry about that. That's just noise. Just keep going. Close the Roosevelt Hotel down. Have buses there with airplanes out of New York City, flying them all the way back to their home countries. Make it a show. You're a showman, Donald Trump. You're like the circus guy. Everybody wants to hear everything you have to say, and you're directing them where to look. Look at the Roosevelt Hotel. Watch what we do. We mean business. We're coming to find every one of you until we eradicate our nation of every legal alien. And that is powerful, powerful.
One thing I didn't ask you, speaking of the Roosevelt, supposedly they clawed that $59 million back. There's no other recourse for compensation for that. So I mean, this is a kind of a ticking time bomb, so to speak, right?
Okay. It is. So even if the Roosevelt Hotel starts to close down and they can't fund it, you still have shelters all across New York City that are housing tens of thousands of people. You go into Chicago, they have massive. I went and visited one called the Standard Club. They renovated the Standard Club to house over 1,200 Venezuelan males. Why are we not in the Standard Club shaking them down of all the Venezuelans and deporting them? I think that's a valid question. Look, if anything about me, I'm going to ask the hard question if it's a Democrat or Republican office. And if I was running if I was the border czar, I'd want those same questions asked me. JJ, why are you not going to those places? And I wouldn't have an answer, because if I was in charge, I would have hit all of the big targets right away. All of them.
Can our viewers and listeners, I mean, would you urge them to send those questions to their representatives or to ICE or I mean, who can they, I don't want to say bother, but who can they hold to account with those questions?
I think it's a time issue trying to get the personnel and money and logistics ready for Mr. Homan. However, with that being said, I use this analogy. If you're going to go fishing for trout, do you go to the parking lot at your local Walmart and cast your rod and reel into the parking lot, hope you can get a trout? Or do you go five blocks over and there's a trout farm and you just drop your hook in there and you just start pulling trout out ad nauseum? That's the same thing with hunting illegal aliens. And I did it for a living. Why would I go cast my reel into, go look in those rocks and maybe I find one illegal alien out of 8 hours of searching, when I can walk 200 yards to the Home Depot and I got 500 illegal aliens standing there and they're looking at me and they're thinking the same thing I'm thinking. Why am I not over there? Why is he not coming to us? Are they going around the building? What's going on? Or is that guy that stupid that he won't come over here and get me? And I think that's a very good analogy. Comparison.
I totally agree with you on that. Oh man, I'll tell you what, anytime I speak with you, I have a great time. I learn a lot. And I have, again, I enjoy myself. Folks, you've been listening to JJ Carroll. He's the author of Invaded, and now coming out is the book Treason. Again, order it right away, please. Order both, Invaded and Treason, off Amazon. There may be a slight delay for the hard copy, like, you know, within a day, but it should be out midnight in a minute. Tomorrow night at midnight. Or
yep.
Yeah,
tomorrow night. At midnight, so about 24 hours.
Yep. And you know what, folks? I'm going to remind you, every single one of you, I'm going to remind you tomorrow to make sure you order your copy. Don't make me come over to your house, man. or if you do, have the coffee on and make sure there's a copy on the coffee table. All right. Follow J.J. Carroll. You can go to his website, jjcarroll.com, on X, J.J. Carroll. The number 1414, as well as Truth Social and Substack. Again, all links will be in the program description box at HagmanPI.com. Folks, spread this interview. And JJ, would you mind telling the people at RAV, tell them hello for me. Tell them, hey.
I will. John Saul, it's my first time meeting him. Seems like a very, very nice man. So
Yeah, he is. And you were on with Grant last time, I think, right?
I've been on Grant, I would say, at least 20, 30 times, and I've started going on John Solomon's show now, too. So, but I love coming on your show. Thank you for supporting me. Anytime you want to come on and talk about even a very small, narrow topic of this, I'd be honored to come back. So thank you very much, Doug.
Man, I'll tell you what. I appreciate you coming on. I know you're a busy guy, and I don't know. You write books. You're on every show I know. And thank you. Just thank you. From the bottom of my heart, we thank you. All right.
Appreciate it. Have a great night, Doug. Thank you.
You too, sir. All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. Folks, that was JJ Carroll. And I'm telling you what a great guy. What a great man he is. Really a true patriot in every sense of the word. Somebody who has really done a lot in his lifetime. And I'm glad to know him. I'm telling you. All right. Tomorrow, don't forget, tomorrow, Stan Dale, second hour. The first hour I'm working on, I want to thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for spreading the word about this program. I want to thank you for your support. L-O-W. Sorry about that. It's actually L-O. I suppose. Thank you for your comments as well as your emails. And but folks, thank you. Gail, thank you so much from Washington State. Thank you so much. You know what you did. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you. A couple of things as well. I'm working on a few things I'll be telling you about this week. I think you're going to be surprised. And lastly, do not forget, folks, April 4th and 5th in Wisconsin, Wausau, Wisconsin. You might think, man, what the hell would I want to go to Wisconsin?